near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio tonight, Michelle Bertrand, back from your trip to the Gold Coast.
Good day, Eamon.
Good to see you. And Bernie Lustiger alongside Michelle. How are you, Bernie?
Good day, Eamon. How you going?
Not bad. Good to have you here. Coming up in the first half hour of the show, obviously this show is followed by the local Canberra show for those people in Canberra. We're going to talk all the issues of the week in the A-League and the dearth of Australian strikers. And we'll review the week ahead, of course. We've also got an interview with Matilda star Amy Chapman. We've got all the turmoil, opinions, facts, rumours, quiz dedications, more, and you can catch us as always on the podcast, is on iTunes or on the blog at www.nearpost.blogspot.com. Now, if you want to email us, nearpost2xx@gmail.com is the way to go. Dedicate the show this week, as always, to somebody, some unknown, poor soul. The Sydney FC coach, Vitislav Lavica. I think he's probably about had his honeymoon period, and I think he's going to need a bit of dedication because after the performance on the weekend, I think people are going to say, come on, what's happening with your team?
You should include Aloisi in that one too.
And John Aloisi, well, he's had a few dedications already, so we'll forget about him. Although, thank God he didn't take the penalty for the World Cup qualifier this Uruguay, the way he took it against whoever it was, Townsville, on the weekend. Now, we've got a quiz question coming up, and the question this week is name any of the Australians who scored in the A-League on the weekend.
Hi, I'm Simon Hill from Fox Sports, and you're listening to The Near Post across the Australian Community Radio Network.
Okay, any of the Australians who scored on the weekend, Michelle, off you go, up and running.
Oh, I don't know, actually.
You don't know?
Did Archie?
No, Archie didn't score.
I can't remember, because I know Newcastle had 3 goals scored against him, but I wasn't really watching because I was so disappointed.
I heard you went to bed during that game because you were so angry with the team.
Yeah, I was really angry with the team.
So you don't know, Michelle, Bernie?
Oh, I know the answer, but no one.
So, Michelle, actually, although you didn't know, you were correct.
Oh, okay, that's probably why. I couldn't remember any names.
It's an interesting fact, I guess, that there was 4, 6, 7, 8, 7, 10, 11 goals scored on the weekend, and not one was scored by an Australian. Cassio for Adelaide United, Brisbane Roar, Brazilians Enrique and Ronaldo, and Charlie Tim Tam Miller scored. North Queensland Fury, of course, Robbie Fowler, they're still talking about that one. Hernandez with his free kick for Melbourne, Tim Brown, the New Zealander, for Wellington, and Branko Jelic and the Serbian, and Victor the Dutchman Sikora for Perth Glory. And Bas van den Brink got his first goal for the Gold Coast. Shane Smeltzer scored, of course, wrapping it up at the end. So not a goal from the from any of the Aussies. Bernie, just on that, are you concerned about that there's no Australians scoring in our league?
Not entirely concerned. It's probably one of those anomalies that happen all the time in sport, but we've got Newcastle got Sean Rooney, I suppose, once he gets cracking, and a few of the other boys, but at this stage maybe we are lacking a little bit.
I mean, maybe Viduka. Yeah, well, I mean, Bernie, you've got a bit of a Croatian angle to you, a bit of a Croatian heritage there. Any insights on what's happening to the Big Duke?
I haven't got an insight, and I spoke to you earlier today. Maybe you can get Ned Zelic on the program because he's back in town.
Right.
Hello to Ned out there. And speaking to him on the weekend, he spoke to Mark Viduka not long ago.
Oh, well.
Mark was ringing him for some advice, so...
Right, well, that's
got the gossip here.
Speak to Ned next weekend.
I'm having coffee with Ned tomorrow, so I'll be right on
to it. See what Mark Baduka asked him.
Okay, I will. All right, so we've got a bit of news floating around. What's happening in the world of Australian football this week?
Well, we're thinking that Mark Baduka and maybe Lucas Neil have retired.
Lucas Neil? We'll come back to him in a moment, but there's he just goes on and on. We're nearly into October and he still hasn't got a team. Scott McDonald scored for Celtic, and I can tell you my 4-year-old nephew Finn Flanagan made his first trek to paradise, as we call it. For the record, Finn was excited by the hotel. He was staying in a hotel with a pool, so he was very excited about that, but he never mentioned the game. Celtic drew 1-1 with Dundee United. There you go, 58,000 people.
It was a great header.
It's always a great header for a green and white hoops. Go on with the news. FFA is still to make a clear statement on expansion. They're still humming and hawing, it seems, waiting for Western Sydney, maybe, hopefully waiting for Canberra, but we shall see.
Adelaide United's Paul Reid and Michael Moraney will both be sidelined for up to a month.
Daniel Allsop settling into Qatar. There's some great shots on the 442 website where Daniel Allsop looked absolutely stunned to be in Qatar, but maybe he's just pondering his bank account. I don't know. Anyway, check it out.
And the young Socceroos flew out on Monday morning to Trinidad, England, in friendlies. They're going to be playing Trinidad, England, and Czech. In friendlies,
yeah, they're playing Trinidad and England in the friendlies, and the World Cup in Egypt. They're based in Port Said, and they'll play Czech and Brazil.
Brazil, yeah,
are two of the teams they're going to be playing. So all the games are going to be live on SBS. Very interesting tournament. Oh, and as I read somewhere today, that all the top agents in the world will be there. So you start to wonder whether it's really a tournament about clubs and or countries, or whether it's just showcase for the best talent. And it'd be interesting what Aussies.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. It is a showcase. Obviously, it's the Under-20 World Cup. The best Under-20 players in the world will be there. And obviously, agents and clubs will be there to grab a hold of what hasn't signed up somewhere else.
Pim Verbeek doing great work. Shane Lowry, the Aston Villa player and Irish Under-21 international, has agreed to ditch the Irish and play for Australia. So along with Reece Williams and one or two others, obviously we're getting some of these guys, like Bissonis has also played with Greece. So even though they're playing with these younger sides, ticket to the World Cup must be...
Well, Australia's finally doing what the rest of the world's been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
If we've got players that can represent our country and they're good enough and they're playing somewhere else, that's what we should be doing.
Interesting we've got Shane, though, because he's already played for Ireland. He's obviously over there at Aston Villa waiting to break into the first team. So to grab him when he's played for Ireland, he's involved in the English Premier League, not so easy, you would think, to grab him. But good luck. Well done to him. Yeah. And New Zealand to play Bahrain in a do-or-die World Cup qualifier in November. Oh, I can't wait for this game. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I'll be supporting New Zealand.
Absolutely. Almost worth flying to for the second leg. I mean, it's going to be such a sort of a game, isn't it?
It'll be
great. And as we know so many of the New Zealand players now, it makes you feel a bit more, give them a bit more support. And finally, Her Excellency the Governor-General, Miss Quentin Bryce, has been announced as the patron of women's football. So I guess another little bit of, I don't know what you call it, but it's nice. That's all I can say.
It's football-related.
Nice. Football-related, yeah, linking in with the mainstream, or, getting some of the leaders of the community involved. Okay, talk a little bit, some of the things going around this week. Lucas Neal, first up, Michelle, he hasn't got a club yet. What are your thoughts? We're into September.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go with his friend Harry Kuehl. We haven't heard anything.
No, he was rumoured to be Atletico Madrid 1 week. And, now it must be dropping. I mean, if a club comes in from him, I don't know what you think, but how is it going to impact on his salary? Presumably now he doesn't really have, he can't call the shots anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I really don't know what game he's playing, or does he need the money, or he's looking for a club that he's going to be happy with. But yeah, the sooner he does it, the better for the Australian team and next year's World Cup.
Also, the better for him, because at his age, we saw Aloisi play the same game a couple of years ago, where he thought after the Asian Cup he could just hang around in Europe, maybe get another gig, and it never happened. And eventually, he came back to the Mariners halfway through the season. And at his age, he missed 6 months or so of football, and you could argue he's never kind of recovered that extra bit of sharpness that you need. And Lucas Neal, I'm not suggesting the same thing, but certainly,
we need him playing.
We need him playing.
Yeah.
We do. He needs to be playing.
We need him for the World Cup.
Yeah, unless he's joined forces with Mark Viduka.
Yeah, they might be holidaying together. Who knows?
No, who knows? Okay, get off that boat, Lucas, wherever you are. Okay, and just a couple of issues here. Firstly, Aussie strikers. We mentioned that earlier, that there's none in the A-League. The J-League, when it formed, and when you see the J-League now, there's a lot of Brazilian strikers, and the Japanese national team struggling to score goals. Could be a problem for us long term. I mean, we don't have, there's not many guys coming through. There's a couple at Newcastle Jets, as you mentioned, but we really seem to be lacking any really quality young strikers. Bruce Gite was there. He's gone now. He hasn't moved to the next level, but he's got a chance there. Rukovic, but underneath him, Bernie, is there anybody really pushing?
Yeah, well, obviously the only one that springs to mind at the moment is Archie Thompson, and he's got a good record. The other clubs, yeah, it could be a problem for us in few years to come.
Even Thompson, as soon as he starts Allsop, as soon as he started scoring, he's gone.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah. Both of those guys are a good market.
I mean, the strikers are always rated or worth more money than all the other players put together in most cases. So, as soon as there's a talent out there, like you saw with Brigitte, clubs are out there to snap them up. Allsop's, not really one of the greatest strikers that we've ever had, but his record is good, and there he's gone. He's gone to the oil fields.
He has, okay. Yeah.
And Kofi Downing also started not too badly. He's done.
No, and I mean, it'd be interesting to see how he goes at the on the 20s World Cup. Sydney FC, Melbourne, are the two of the bigger clubs, I guess, in many ways. Are they both in decline? I mean, Melbourne Victory, they've lost a number of key players. Just want to pose that question to you. You know, like, they're champions last year, at the same time before when they were champions, they dudded it in the final in the next season. And Melbourne seems to be struggling, haven't had a win at home in four games. Sydney came in with a lot of hype this season, having not lost a game in the pre-season. But, you know, they're looking flattering to deceive. What are your thoughts on the two big clubs there?
Melbourne, probably a little bit different to Sydney. Muscat, Selesky, Allsop. I heard their coach saying that's the spine of their team. So, you know, that's probably a good excuse for why Melbourne's not working at the moment, and they've obviously brought a few players in to change things around. Sydney's a different matter. I followed Sydney a fair bit last year with my son playing in the youth team, and everyone was jumping on the back of Cosmina, this and that, and they only missed out on the finals by a point. But they had about seven injuries. They had five youth team players playing for half the season.
Interesting point, Bernie, because when Butcher was there, they got into the finals and obviously lost to Newcastle, but he was slated. Cosmina, as you say, had a bad trot, and probably the same is likely to happen here, which suggests maybe it's not so much the coach as the...
I think it's players pool. Levitschka, I mean, if you watch Sydney, I still believe that they're going to be hard to beat in the games, but they're certainly not making any of their games exciting for their fans. I mean, they had 17,000 or close to 17,000. That's probably Fowler-related as well, but you need to show something to your fans that, you know, lose 3-2.
Yeah, and it was a good crowd, great crowd. But it is interesting, and I guess we might as well talk about that game from the weekend, Sydney versus North Queensland Fury. 1-0, obviously, to the Fury. Difference between Fowler and Aloisi, noticeable. You know, I mean, when have you seen Aloisi get even a chance to strike a ball like that?
And what a goal for Fowler.
You like that one, Michelle?
Mm. Aloisi's been quite actually disappointing. He started okay, I think, for the first couple of games, and now I think he's sort of gone back to how he was last year too.
Here, Aloisi, what do you think, Bernie?
Sydney hasn't scored a lot of goals this year, and he looked like he was back on track. You know, it was a hard game, missed a penalty. He needs to have a look at Fowler. He's got three of the best goals of the A-League this season, and Fowler's got all three of them. So
somebody remarked that, interestingly, Fowler's got that little bit of craft. He was never the fastest player in the world, and it's the craft and his anticipation.
His first touch.
Whereas Aloisi, he was a striker who relied very much on his first, the pace over 3 or 4 yards to get in front. And once that's gone, they're now trying to turn him into a guy who lays off the ball. That was never Aloisi, really. He wasn't a Viduka type player, was he? He was always, had Viduka and Aloisi, kind of, Aloisi was always pushing on. And if you can't run beyond the defence with pace, then he's gone. I mean, certainly, I don't think he's worth a marquee fee, is he?
No, he hasn't shown that.
But, having the way Sydney played on the weekend, he also didn't get much delivery either from their midfield or all the wide players for Aloisi to do something. So, I mean, if you compare Fowler and Aloisi, which is a bit unfair on Aloisi, but Fowler received the ball on the halfway line, 50% of the time that he received the ball, and then he would make runs into the box, and that's where he's dangerous.
He's also perhaps got a more, Daniel McBreen is a big, strong guy playing off him, so Fowler can sort of move around that, whereas Aloisi, is potentially the McBreen in that side in trying to lay off to Alex Brosk. Now, Alex Brosk is not, he's had a few years now, and I think he's reached his peak. I don't think he's going to get any better. He's an in and out sort of player. He's not going to get you 10 goals a year. And while Sydney, you've got to persevere with him, you know, maybe they're just tied up with guys like Mark Bridge and Alex Brosk, who aren't really going to take it to the next level for the team.
Yeah, well, that's something their coach Levitska is going to have to look at. He's can't make any excuses for himself this time. He had pick of the players. He could bring in whoever he wanted. So it's up to him now to show us what you know, this European experienced coach can do.
I think the league needs a good Sydney. So I guess there's you know, I suppose the jury's out, but it's certainly not looking promising for an exciting Sydney this year. Good crowds in Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne and Perth, which is you know, a little bit of a turnaround from previous weeks. Adelaide beat Mariners 1-0. Cassio scored a wonderful free kick that left the keeper Danny Vukovic, I don't know what he was doing, but looked out of sorts there. Newcastle Jets hammered by Brisbane Roar. Michelle, only 6,000 there. What is going on with your team?
I don't know. I actually didn't watch the whole game because I was just getting too frustrated. I mean, they were, I don't know, they started to play a little bit and then they were just in patches.
Yeah, and Lubo Milosevic, I'm a bit concerned about him because not only has he gone quiet off the field, but he seems to have gone quiet on the field. Now, Lubo is a great player and I was expecting big things from him this season, but he seems to be, I don't know, he seems to be gone back inside his shell a little bit, which is...
Yeah, it took me about 20 minutes to realise he was actually playing in that game.
No, that is...
It's unusual.
That says it all, really, doesn't it, Billy? Because to me, I mean, I'd expect Lubo to be standing out either, not just
I have a theory on Lubo.
Give us your theory. We like theories on
Lubo. There was a guy that had hair and, you know, once they chopped his hair off, he was no good.
Samson.
Well, they've gagged... Someone's gagged Lubo, and ever since they've gagged him, he just hasn't performed. And he's the mouth of the south, from the north. That's my theory anyway. So
we should be letting him talk.
I think I should let Lubo run the show because he's good value.
Lubo the lip. We need Lubo the lip back. Yeah, you're right. I think it's an interesting theory because it's certainly he's not playing like a man who we know can. I mean, he could be one of the best two or three players in the league and should be. He's not an old man. He's 26, 27. We'll follow Lubo. No doubt Lubo won't be able to keep quiet for long, no matter who tells him to shut up. So the secret will out. Now, Perth Glory Gold Coast. Great game, I thought. I really enjoyed it. Two each. Perth were 2-0 up. Michelle, your thoughts on that game?
I thought it was two different. Each team had, Perth had the first half and then Gold Coast had the second half.
Yeah, very strange.
I was disappointed in Glory, actually, because I thought they were going to win.
Well, they were at 2-0, but, you know, as we always say, 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in football, as the Australian national team knows only too well. Branko Jelic, Victor Sikora, Perth were on fire. Norm Sokolowski had a great first half, absolutely fantastic. But when you saw him in the second half, he came off after 67 minutes, nothing wrong with him. And he did nothing in the start of the second half. So it was almost, and you mentioned the point off air, Michelle, that when Perth played in Canberra, they tired. Now, you could excuse that possibly because of the distance and travel and all that, but they don't seem fit enough. And I think the Gold Coast purely got back into that game because they were the fittest side, which is, 45 minutes of football.
Even the balls that they were putting through in the first half was totally different to the second half. I don't know if maybe Gold Coast played better, much better played in the second half rather than in the first half.
Well, they possibly did, but still, Perth offered nothing really. It was a remarkable performance. Okay, so Gorka's got a point at the end. All right, we're going to talk about the A-League. Next week's games coming up in a moment. We've got an interview with Amy Chapman. The W League is about to start in a few weeks, and this is what I caught up with Amy and she is a Matilda star, and this is what she had to say. She's currently out injured. Okay, I'm joined now by Matilda star Amy Chapman. Amy, you're not going to be starting off the W League season. Can you tell us why not?
I've just had a bit of a knee problem still coming on off the grand final last year. I still haven't played since that first half. It's been a bit of a long road for me, but I just had a second surgery about 4 weeks ago, and hopefully this will do the trick. I had an arthroscope, I think, in April, and I was expecting that to work, but it didn't. So it turns out I had a fair bit more damage in there, and I had some screws in there from my first knee reco, which were not in the right spot. Sort of had a couple of clean-ups, and round two, hopefully this is going to work. So I think I've got 10 weeks left in my rehab program.
There's a lot of, a lot of the Matildas players seem to have injuries. Do you feel well looked after as a Matildas player? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, I've definitely got the support staff around us. It's just the luck of the draw, I think. And women's soccer has been known for a lot of knee injuries, especially knee recos. And it depends on your luck. I think Caitlin has had her third knee reco on one knee. And she's only, I think, 24.
Yeah, so it doesn't put you off playing, Amy. You're still desperate to get back?
Yeah, I'm pretty keen. I've had like a pretty bad run with knee injuries of late, so I'm pretty keen to get back amongst it.
Will we see you this season?
If all goes to plan, I've got 10 weeks left of my rehab program to have me back playing at a reasonable fitness level, but I'll just have to see how it goes because I've had a few hiccups and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm looking to, my aim is to get back around round 6 if it's possible.
And the team you'll be playing with?
I haven't been speaking to anyone because I put too much pressure on myself. I think I'll just talk to Tommy Somani and just see where he thinks I'd be best placed, or just see who needs more signings halfway through the season. Sort of.
Twin sister Georgia, she's back and playing in South Australia.
Yeah, she was playing in Sweden for 6 months last year and has come back, and she's playing here in Brisbane and training with the QAS girls, but playing for Adelaide, which I think is about 3 girls doing the same thing, playing for Adelaide, and a couple of girls playing for Melbourne who also train here in Queensland. Well, I've been watching the Queensland Raw girls train and they're looking very fit. Canberra, and I think they've got a bit of a young team, but with Ray on hand, I think they'll put up another good fight. And I've heard that Perth have got quite a few good signings, but not sure if they're confirmed, so I'd be definitely keeping an eye out for them.
But, it's early days, but who's going to win?
Yeah, I don't think I can look past Queensland with the number of Matildas they've got in there.
Amy Chapman on the W League and how Queensland are going to win the league or not, as the case may be, we'll see. Gold Coast, Sydney in the A League. Gold Coast, Sydney, Brisbane, Central Coast are in the top 4. Adelaide, Newcastle make up the top 6, followed by Perth, Melbourne, Wellington and North Queensland. And only 3 points separate the bottom place from 6th place. This weekend we've got Adelaide versus Melbourne, hoping for a good crowd there. Central Coast play the Gold Coast, Wellington, North Queensland, Sydney versus Newcastle, Brisbane, Perth. Adelaide, Melbourne, grand final rerun. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think Adelaide.
Adelaide?
I reckon it'll be a draw.
Be a draw, okay. I think Melbourne always play a bit better away from home, that's my view. They seem to be able to, I suppose, just, well, most sides in the A-League are reasonably well at good at defending. If you've got Archie or somebody on the break, yeah. And the home side has to attack, so maybe they'll get a chance there to show a bit more than they've been showing. Central Coast versus the Gold Coast. You going up for that one, Billy?
I am. I'm going up on Saturday to watch the youth league and the first team. Who knows? Central Coast very tough to break down, but and I know Gold Coast had 4 changes last week, and they'll have a few changes this week. They've lost Taj Minicon to the Youth World Cup. I'm confident Gold Coast, after coming back from 2-0 down to Perth, that they might be able to get a win here.
Because they haven't won a game in a couple of games now, isn't it? They drew?
No, they drew and they beat Sydney the week before. So
They lost.
They lost to
one out of three. They've only had 1 win out of 3, so that's almost a crisis for the Gold Coast. But I think also the young players leaving for the Young Socceroos tournament, that is going to make a bit of a difference for some of the teams like Newcastle
and Sydney are the worst, and Brisbane. I think that those 3 teams have lost 9 or 10 players.
Yeah. And I saw that young refugee boy was playing for the
Gogol.
Yeah, Gogol got a run. Yeah, that was last minute. We actually had Gold Coast had 2 injuries, Robson and Minicon. So 2 players came in the last minute, and Gogo got his debut, which is
Eritrean
great.
Or Ethiopian, Michelle?
I think it's Eritrean.
Eritrean, and obviously you've got strong links with the Eritrean community, so
that's right.
Go. Don't say that too quickly. Wellington versus North Queensland.
Robbie Fowler.
I think Tough game.
Wellington are strong, though.
Should have another win
at home.
They're actually doing better, I think, without Shane Smeltz than they did with him, because they seem to have a better team. In that they brought in Greenacre and IFL.
Yeah.
They're looking okay to me.
At home, I don't know. Sit on the fence, draw.
I think North Queensland will have another win.
No, I'm with Bernie. I think it's going to be a draw. And that leads, Sydney versus Newcastle. Branko goes back to play at
Revenge,
Sydney.
Grudge match.
Will he be getting a good cheer when he goes out, walks out?
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? That's right.
Sydney have to bounce back.
No, Newcastle. They've been so inconsistent. They can't.
Sydney have to bounce back.
Sydney is second. I'm just looking at the table. Yeah. Sydney, I don't know
lost
how they're
two
second.
In a row, yeah.
I don't know how they're second.
Lost 2 in a row, so I can't see them losing 3 in a row. Otherwise, that is crisis.
Well, if anybody could lose at home, I'd say
Sydney can.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, Sydney will lose.
Sydney.
Next week.
We might be talking about new coach.
Although Newcastle have got a few problems, haven't they? I mean, they've got Song and Patafta, and they look okay on paper, but they're a bit lightweight.
And the defence?
The defence should be okay with Milicevic, Topper, Stanley, Tarik Elrich, DiPuzzo or Matt Thompson. I mean, that should be as good. I tell you who I think gets a good rap, and I'm not so sure he deserves it, is Ben Kennedy. They've kind of given, everyone seems to be giving him a good chat, a good talk up once Kovic left. But to me, I think he's a bit raw, and he's probably worth a goal a game to the other team. I know he's a young keeper, but he's made a fair few errors, and I think anybody going in to play against him would be quietly confident that.
And the Perth keeper also has been making a few mistakes, hasn't he?
Tando Vlapi, he made a beautiful. I mean, it was great entertainment against Central Coast the week before. Poor lad, but he made some great saves on the weekend. He made some, and he's a young keeper as well, who former AIS keeper.
Former AIS keeper.
So
yeah.
I think he
takes a bit of time.
Yeah, he does. And keepers
experience.
Keepers come later, don't they? You know, they usually take a while to. To hit their straps, and that leaves Brisbane Perth. Brisbane on a roll, 3-0 away.
Ooh.
Good game, I reckon.
Yeah,
good test for Brisbane.
They've won two on the road. I don't know.
I think Brisbane will do it.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a draw.
Perth, can Perth travel?
You're sitting on the fence a lot this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of draws in. The teams are so equalised that it's hard for teams to string in two victories on the trot. So. They either draw or win, loss, win is the only Gold Coast, I think, the only teams that will be able to string two or three wins in a row.
Just a quick note on some of the players we've got signed this season. I think Branko Jelic at Perth, I mean, scoring goals, good to see.
Three. He's a good deal.
Also, Joel Porter, Daniel McBreen, maybe not scoring lots of goals, but strong players coming in. Robbie Fowler. The imports,
obviously, Chilena.
Yeah. Well, you can't go past him, can you? But we seem to be getting a better class of player coming through.
Coaches are being a little bit smarter. You're going to go out and bring players in. You have to bring better quality than you have here. Otherwise, stick with the young guys.
Yeah, and it seems like we're getting it right. We're not getting so many guys who we don't know from Brazil or wherever.
Yeah.
You know, and who aren't performing. So, and the guys that are coming back are. Looking
doing
good.
Doing the goods,
so it's good to see. All right, so another wrap of the A League, and we've got another week, week seven, I think it is. Yeah, week seven coming up. So we'll be a third of the way through after this weekend's games. Pick of the round, I think, will be probably the Adelaide Melbourne game. Great game down at Hindmarsh. Friday night football. I'm enjoying Friday night football down at Hindmarsh. Great way to end your working week for those of you that have to go out there and work. But, I'm enjoying the tradition.
No, that should be
me
a good
too,
game.
Yeah.
Should be great.
Yeah. Okay, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're going to the Near Post,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first. Near Post, get there.